We're back to the Neil Haley Show, also the Media Giant Effect and Love Is Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program my co-host, Kim Sorrell, author of Love Is. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest today.
Neil, I am doing great, and I cannot even tell you how excited I am about our guest today. Dallas Jenkins, you are a superstar. The Chosen, I think, is transforming lives. Like, it's amazing what you've done. You've had such guts in your career, going after things when you thought you were at the lowest, and then the highest ever crowdfunded film, and you just keep going strong. I cannot wait to hear from you and what you have to say. Your wife is gorgeous, by the way, and your kids are so cute, and it must be fun running around after them. So welcome, Dallas. It's so nice to meet you.
Wow, what an intro. Thank you so much. And I for sure agree with you on my wife and kids. So yeah, we're off to a good start.
Good, good. So your Christmas special that you did last year, is that going to come on again this year? How is that going to work?
No, so we did a Christmas special last year that it consisted of a new, brand new episode that we had kept under wraps. It was focused on the birth of Christ. And we put that together with a bunch of music videos with some incredible artists singing Christmas songs. And we put that in theaters. It was originally only going to be a day or two, just as kind of a special event, and it sold out so fast, and the response was so significant that we ended up doing it like a normal theatrical run, and it ended up being in the top five at the box office, and we barely spent any money or even tried really hard. It was kind of an extraordinary experience, which has led to our decision this year to release the first two episodes of season three in theaters. So yeah, it's been quite a ride. There's so much about this that has been kind of unexpected and different.
Well, Dallas, it's unexpected and different just to go back to your father and how this has all developed to where you've done. How much do you feel that you've learned from your father to where you are today and the success you've been having, especially what you've done?
Yeah, I think that's been an awesome opportunity because my dad, 25 years ago, when he launched the Left Behind books, it was similar. There was no expectation of huge success. It wasn't why he did it. It was, and he just worked to try to write, you know, good books and honor the Gospels and honor the story of the Bible and honor Jesus. And that series blew up. And now the things I learned from him then are one, obviously the storytelling gene. I think I am, you know, happy to be part of that in our family, but two, watching him handle extraordinary success. I've experienced failure. The movie that I did before the show was a huge failure and left me wondering if I was ever going to make another project again. Well, now that The Chosen is had the success that it's had, it's been easier for me to recognize that I have little to do with it, not only because of what's happened, but also because I was able to watch my dad go through the same thing with Left Behind and the humility that he exhibited, as opposed to the sense of arrogance or complacency, was for sure. When I look back on it now, it was a great model for me that at the time I could never have known was going to be a model that would matter to me in the future, but it's proven to be so, and it's been really beautiful to be part of.
What a legacy. I mean, honestly, that's such a beautiful thing to say about your dad. And I remember watching interviews and things with him back in the day, and of course the books are still selling, but he always did come from such a humble place, and that was beautiful. And for you to take that on now is amazing. And The Chosen at theaters, I know so many people that are just chomping at the bit and cannot wait to see the entire season. But tell us more about The Chosen, and like even the characters, how you've developed characters like Eden. Yeah. What a wonderful yeah. character, you know, that you don't really know that much about, but you've had to develop them.
Yeah.
What was yeah. that process like?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So yeah, Eden's a great example. So we know in the Gospels that Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. Well, you can then, and it's a very short scene in the Gospels. You don't know much about it. It doesn't mention who Simon's wife is, but we know he had a wife because he had a mother-in-law. So that's a great example of how we operate. So we look at that story and we know it would have had significant resonance in the lives of the people involved. Well, so let's work our way backwards and think about what could have led to that moment. Why would that moment have taken place? What's the historical context, the cultural context? What was happening when Jesus did that? And so we were able to then use, yes, some artistic liberty to create a what we believe is a plausible scenario of who Simon's wife would have been and why this would have been so resonant for her. So you, now that that happened in season one, so season one, you see the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. But now we're going into season three. Well, there's so much more to tell when you know that Simon's married. Well, Simon has been called by Jesus to follow him. And there's a scene in season three where Jesus sends the disciples out two by two to heal and to do some of the work he's doing. And as Simon mentions, to then get the same kind of criticism and resistance that Jesus gets. What does that do for a wife? When you're home alone, your husband's out doing ministry, and you know that the Romans don't want it to happen, the religious leaders don't want it to happen, you know that your husband's going to be called blasphemous and a traitor, all that stuff. What does that do to your marriage? What does that do when he comes back from a trip? I mean, we all experience this today. Anyone who's married has experienced, and I think we all have similar stories of when a spouse comes home from a trip, my wife and I call it reentry, and you think it's supposed to be wonderful and happy and we're so glad to see each other. And for some reason, first day back is always tense and weird and
right.
missed expectations. Well, we dig into that. And we were filming that scene this year of Simon coming back and the weird tension that took place and the misunderstandings and whatnot. And there were people on the crew while we were filming going, do you have a recording in my house? Like, this is exactly what we experience. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because I do believe that's the secret sauce of The Chosen, that when you watch the show, you're thinking, that's me. I experienced that. I have the same questions mm-hmm. and struggles that they had 2,000 years ago. Maybe the answer and the solution to those questions and struggles can be the same for me as well.
So Dallas, why theaters? Especially, you know, streaming's the big thing, right? What made you decide to go to the theaters as well as having it streaming?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, and you just said it. I mean, obviously, we're still streaming. The show is free and easy to watch. We don't even require an email address. I mean, you just go to the Chosen app and you can watch the show. You can catch up on seasons one and two. And when season three comes out, eventually, it'll be out on streaming as well. Why theaters, especially when it's a TV show? Well, as I mentioned earlier, we did that Christmas special last year, and we're barely even trying, and it did so unexpectedly well. It accomplished two things. One, it gave people a great experience. People love to watch stuff in the theaters. I love for them to see my work in theaters, obviously, up on the big screen with the great sound, the dark room, watching with other people. The laughter is better. The tears are better when you're watching it with a group. But also, it gave a new, for lack of a better term, marketing awareness for the show. When it launched in the top five at the box office, and when people are seeing the posters in the movie theater, it's like, wow, what is this? I gotta check this out. So all those benefits are make it an obvious choice for us to try it again with this season, and we'll see how it goes.
Wow. Yeah, well, I'm sure. I know it's going to do great. I love what you said about what you said about developing Eden and what that would mean. In fact, I had the same experience with my husband when coming home, and you think it's going to be this honeymoon, and instead it's this tense moment where you wonder if you're going to make it after that for whatever reason. It's a crazy thing, the opposite of what you think. But another thing that I hear mentioned all the time and that I really love about your show, about the way you're explaining the life of Christ and dramatizing it, is your use of women. You know, that women are involved, that women are part of Jesus' life, that he doesn't send the women away, like the women are less than. Right. And, you know, so often it's thought of the opposite. So what's the reaction to that been like? How has that been?
Yeah, it's been awesome. And I think one of the cool things about it is that we're not doing it to make any kind of political statement or to try to correct any previous poor portrayals of women in other Bible projects or the ignorance of it in other Bible projects. It really is just a part of our attempt to be authentic. The stories of the Gospels have multiple instances where Jesus specifically sought out women for a particular reason. He was the first, a woman was the first person he announced publicly he was the Messiah to, the woman at the well, which we covered in season one. Mary Magdalene was the first person that Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. There's multiple moments in the Gospels where he had such a beautiful relationship with his mother. And these are things that if we're going to tell an authentic and meaningful story about Jesus, especially over the course of multiple seasons, it would be bizarre of us to leave out some of the really unique things that Jesus did regarding women. And I think it makes it even more resonant when you also portray what they were up against. At that time, women were such second-class citizens. And Jesus came and as we say and quote all the time from Isaiah 43:19, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And one of our key phrases of The Chosen is "get used to different," which Jesus says in season one. Well, that's part of different. Jesus did things in a different way than the Pharisees expected, than the Romans expected, and even his followers expected. Wow. And how he interacted with women was part of that. And the response to that has been overwhelming. We have women all the time just saying, "Thank you. I feel seen. I feel like I can connect more with some of these people when I haven't been able to in other portrayals."
All right. Kim has a question regarding her book, Love Is, and she asks this question for everyone that she has on, gets to co-host with me. Go with that question, Kim.
Yeah, Dallas, I decided a bit ago that I was going to dedicate a full year in search of the true meaning of love, because it seems to be something that we question, right? But yet God is love. And so love must be something that's alive, something that you are rather than just something that you feel. So I used 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, and focused on one word a month to figure out what is love that is patient, what is love that is kind. And the things I found out about love just blew my mind. Like, I feel like I did the world's homework for you when it comes to the truth about love. And I'm just curious, like, this project has to be a love passion for you. I mean, this has been a lot of work. I mean, this isn't something that came overnight. You had to go source money. You had to come out of a failed film that you thought your career might be over. Like, where does love play a part in that for you?
Well, you know, I heard you say the phrase love is, and for me, I mean, it's many things, but one of the key words that comes to mind is love is personal. And I see throughout the Gospels, Jesus was a God of the personal. He spoke to people directly. He met them where they're at. He called them in specific ways, unique to their personalities, unique to their situations. And that's one of the things about the show that has been not only exhibited in how we portray Jesus, but also how it's impacted me, just knowing that God is the God of the intimate and that Jesus wants a personal relationship, and that love is not just something that applies to a group of people, but whether it's your wife or your husband or your kids or your friends or whatever, or even your relationship with God, love is personal. It looks a little different with each person in your life. And if it doesn't, that's a problem, because you should be sacrificing and being empathetic and being submissive to the needs of and the love language of the people in your life, as opposed to looking at love as something that you just apply equally to everybody. Or when I say equally, I mean the same to everybody, or expect it to be applied in a specific way to you. And that's what's really been meaningful to me about doing this show and learning more about Jesus, is just how personal he was.
Fantastic. And Dallas, the best place people could check out The Chosen is where?
Well, you first look at for it in theaters. You know, it launches, the first two episodes launch in theaters for a couple of weeks. But more than anything else, you just look up The Chosen. We're very easy to find. If you go to your app store or where you get your apps on a TV or whatever, just look up The Chosen, and you can find it very easily and watch it completely free and easy. You don't need an email address. We don't require anything from you. Everything is by choice. And you just get a chance to watch it for free and with no questions asked. That'll get you caught up so you can see season three in theaters. Or if you don't want to see it in theaters, that's fine. Just wait till it's free and you can watch it on the app.
All right. Well, I think it'll be the experience of seeing it on the silver screen, Dallas, yes, that you think is going to be, that's going to continue to build your success. So congrats again, and I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Nice to talk to you guys.
You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.